everyone. Welcome to episode 5, season 4 of the Beach Business Breakfast Show. Jeremy's here. How are you, Jeremy?
Hey, good, Dave.
Excellent, fantastic. And Shane, how are you?
Yeah, terrific. Thanks. Excellent. Thanks for having me this morning.
That's right,
boys.
No worries. So Shane's in the Hog's Breath Cafe Hawaiian shirt, which is quite nice.
What's its story?
There's a history behind the shirt.
Okay, tell us the
history. Give us the 1 minute version.
Okay, well, we're going to be talking about what I've done in the past and that sort of thing. So at one stage in my working life, I was the franchisee for Hog's Breath Cafe in Port Douglas.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, nice. How long did you do that for?
About 5 years.
Wow.
So that must have been one of the sort of original Hog's Breaths, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was. Way up north. So, no, it was terrific. We're in the Hooley Bailey train station up there.
Excellent.
Which was a heritage listed building on the marina at Marina Mirage, Port Douglas.
Sensational. So are you from North Queensland?
I'm a Newey boy, born
Newcastle.
And bred.
Excellent. Whereabouts did you grow up in Newcastle and go to school?
I grew up born in Belmont Hospital.
It's never been the same since.
Grew up in Cohiba.
Yep.
Went to Whitebridge High.
Nice. Good school, Whitebridge High.
And still reside in Jewell. So,
nice, excellent. So you haven't moved too far from home.
Great area. Well, why would you move?
Oh, absolutely. So you went from Jewell to where to go after that?
I actually moved to Western Australia.
Okay.
My parents had been bugging me to get out of the house and move away from home.
Yep.
So I went to the other side of the country.
So they didn't move Charlestown or
what happened in WA?
Well, I was working, at the time I was working for McDonald's. Which I worked for 16 years.
Did you start there at school?
Yes.
Were you ever a crew person of the month?
Yes.
So was I.
I was
a crew person of the month in, I think, 1979.
Yeah, okay.
My mum still got the little plaque.
Beautiful.
I wasn't sure at the time whether they just rotated the awards through the people.
Yep.
And everyone got it. But yeah, no, there was a highlight of my McDonald's career.
Yeah.
So did you you started when you were at school at McDonald's?
Yeah, I did. 15 at Charlestown, or 14 at Charlestown. And then I went into a management career with McDonald's.
Was when you started the day where they had a separate person doing the chips?
Yes.
Yeah, now I think that's a real loss at McDonald's. They don't have a chip person.
Hybrid roles.
Yeah. Someone wanders past and shakes them.
Yeah.
Now, in my day, you looked after the chips.
That's right.
A stopwatch to keep an eye on the chips.
Clock, and at 30 seconds, they go off and give them a shake. It's a lost art. It's gone with the dinosaurs.
It has.
Unfortunately, the chip
And
person.
So is the old sear tool on the meat grill.
Unbelievable. Even McDonald's are improving every time.
That's right.
And they cook to water now, I believe.
Yeah, so, that's right. It's all gone downhill.
Charlestown McDonald's, and then you went to a management career?
Yeah, I did, with McDonald's at Edgeworth. And by the age of 21, I was a restaurant manager.
Sensational.
So I worked for Alan Cox in Newcastle for eight years.
Yep.
And then when Alan sold his restaurants, I moved to Western Australia. McDonald's needed people over there.
Yep.
And I got a transfer to WA.
Excellent. Nice.
Excellent. So,
fantastic. So you up and moved to WA. How long were you there for?
4.5 years.
In Perth,
right on the beach.
Nice.
So it was excellent.
What year was that? What sort of time?
I left in 89.
89?
No, 87, sorry.
Yep.
And left Perth in 2001.
Wow, so a bit of time there.
Yeah, it was a great place, and it's where I met my wife and a few things. So,
fantastic.
No.
So she's from Perth, or was she travelling through as well?
No, she's a Perth girl. And dragged her away to the other side of the country. So off to
Hog's Breath in Port Douglas. And
We did a bit when we left Perth. We travelled around Australia for 4 months in a Hyundai Elantra and a two-man tent.
Sensational.
Cool. So,
did you head northwest, or did you head...
Yeah, we headed north and west. And we went right up to Ningaloo Reef and up through Broome and across back through the heartland.
Yep.
Karajini National Park, which is inland from Tom Price, and up through Catherine, up to Darwin, right back to the tip of Eastern Australia, and then all the way down the East Coast.
Okay, so you came back to Newcastle?
Eventually. Yep. Oh, we moved to Foster then, and one of my mates had bought Foster McDonald's and asked me to come and operate it with him. So we did that for a little bit, and then we moved to Port Douglas.
Excellent. So
you've been around kitchens a lot of your life, obviously.
I have,
is this where your interest in making kitchens better comes from?
Yeah, definitely. I didn't know I was even doing it. With McDonald's, with opening new stores, you'd look at the layout and the design and the function of the kitchen, and I'd always be changing things and doing it. When I bought my restaurant, I renovated the kitchen in it, and we increased our turnover by 30 customers a night.
Okay,
So
through kitchen efficiency.
Kitchen efficiency.
Wow, okay.
So that led to big dollars, 30 a head
per
day.
It's $1,000.
So over 12 months, it's a lot of money. And so, I really enjoyed doing this. And then once we sold the restaurant, I actually ran the retail arm of the Fisherman's Co-op.
Okay.
Oh, so I did that for 4 years
as
well.
Is that up at Port Douglas?
No, in Newcastle.
In Newcastle?
Their kitchen too?
I did. Okay. I changed the layout and the setup of everything, put in new point of service systems and made it more efficient. I started to realise this is what I do. And I've been running 100 plus staff for 20 odd years, and I needed a change of scenery. And a guy I know said, why don't you come and design kitchens for me? He said, I've got my kitchen business. And I thought, well, really, I've been doing that for 20 years. I thought I'd give it a go, and now it's my full-time gig.
Excellent. So when did you start doing that? When did that start?
5 years ago.
Okay.
So I started off with not very much knowledge about the industry, did a few design courses and a few skills courses on design and using the CAD programs and things like that. And now I do it for myself.
Excellent. So who are your sort of customers? Like, who are your customers?
Mainly, did you start doing commercial kitchen design, or is it straight into
residential? Really, it's mainly residential. The mum and dad customers, people doing new developments, apartment blocks, all that sort of thing, or customised furniture, all that sort of stuff. So, it's been terrific.
Yeah. So, do you do commercial as well?
We can do commercial. So, with my role as a sole trader, I source, someone comes to me, I'll design the layouts and everything with them, and then I'll point them towards the company that I think's best to adequately meet their needs. So, which is a real advantage other than just working for one company.
So, anyone that's setting up a commercial kitchen, like, there's some advantage in having like commercial kitchen efficiency expert come in and
100%.
Design the layout. I don't know how commercial kitchens normally come about, but I assume they're not always beautifully well executed and planned. And
no, well, as I said, we increased our turnover by 30 covers a night in the restaurant just by maximising efficiency and layouts and things. So,
but I think if you can say to people, look, we were doing this, and then through the improvements, which cost X, we're now doing this, and here's the return on investment. That's a good story to tell.
Yeah,
did Hogspress roll out your ideas across all their other stores?
Well, when I took over the restaurant, like with every franchisee system, they have a ratings thing. So you come in and your restaurant's rated at this level. When I took mine over, it wasn't running too well. And within 12 months, we were the second highest rated restaurant in the system. And I'd increased sales by 10% and bottom line by 8%.
Wow,
so that was done in the first 12 months.
Yeah. Because I suppose Hogspress doesn't, they don't get rated by hats, do they?
No.
Like, it's not really a hat-ish restaurant. It's you come in and you get your steak that's slow cooked for 8 hours or something.
That's right.
And what are they? The hogtail fries that everyone loves. Low calorie ones especially.
Definitely.
So that's what people suppose, and it's a bit like McDonald's, isn't it? You know, you see Hogspress, you have a vision of what you're going to get.
That's
And it's reasonably similar across the country.
And that's why you get into a franchise system, hoping that where you go door to door, then you're getting the same service and quality throughout the system.
Yeah, excellent. So where are you based? Are you based in with other building, like kitchen-y type people? Or where do
I work with four different companies at the moment. I work with Panda Kitchens, Magnet Kitchens, Unity Building, and Newcastle Kitchen Magic.
So
they're the companies that I'm working with at this stage.
You tell me you parked yourself with the HIA building or something?
Yeah, I've been doing a fair bit of work out of the HIA Centre in Mayfield there.
It's like a big display kitchen kind of.
It is. If you're building a house or doing improvements or anything, you can head on over there, and there's a massive display area where you can go see kitchens, bathrooms, and any building products, windows, trusses, you name it, it's in there. So it's a really good place, and I base myself there and do a lot of work out of there. So if you've got any kitchen questions, go head over to the HIA Centre, and I'll be
catch
over there.
Catch people as they're wandering you through, kind of aimlessly looking at kitchens. And
it's about being there. Like, people have taken the time to go there, and you're there, and hopefully you don't have a hog's breath Hawaiian shirt on. You've got your
depends if it's Friday or not.
Those companies don't have full time reps there or anything like that, do they?
No, so they don't.
You sort of little bit of a captive audience in a sense of when people kind of come through, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. No, that's good. So what sort of marketing did, like, your mate said, can you come and help me, and you went off and did that? How did you get the other companies that you're working through? Was that like through referrals, or how was that?
A bit of referral work, and I put together proposals and approached some companies.
Yep.
I went to Panda with an idea.
Yep.
They only do visitations in their showrooms.
Yep.
And I said to them, you get a lot of inquiries elsewhere to go to people's houses.
Yeah,
and they said, yes,
yeah,
so we do, but we can't accommodate that market.
Yeah, yeah.
So I put a business plan together with them for me
to do that role on their behalf.
Yeah,
wow, that's good.
You created a job for yourself. That's pretty awesome.
Because
I imagine, if you're going into someone's house to help them renovate their kitchen, it'd be handy to actually see the kitchen.
Yeah, it does
say,
make a big
difference.
Describe
the kitchen to me.
Yes, mm-hmm. So people can bring in just a floor plan, and you don't get a feel for the rest of the house.
Or how it fits into the rest of the house.
And what the person's style is, and all that sort of thing.
People are busy these days, they might have kids that they've got to get to bed, or pick up from school, or take the music lessons, or a dance school at Merriweather Surf Club on a Thursday night at 7 o'clock.
Do you find yourself telling people to knock a wall down or something more serious than just replace the kitchen?
Sometimes, You give them ideas that could really open up their home and improve the whole function of the house, not just the kitchen area.
So what's the latest trend in kitchens now? Is it sort of like open kitchens? And
definitely.
Is things like MasterChef and those sorts of things making the kitchen more of a focal point in houses?
I think it's always, they say the kitchen sells the home. So I think people have always loved their kitchen. It's the heart of the home. And kitchens have been evolving a lot in the last 20 years.
It used to be like a kind of hidden away.
That's
right.
Thing, right? And now it's the center of the home.
People, focal point.
If you buy a new car and drive it off the lot, you lose $5,000 straight away.
Exactly.
If you invest $20,000 into a new kitchen, you've probably added $40,000-$45,000 into the value of your home. Kitchens are definitely getting larger, and people are wanting more specific things in there now.
People doing like alfresco kitchens outside and that sort of stuff?
Outside barbecue areas and alfresco dinings really taken off in the last 12 months.
Space for coffee machines and
dishwashers.
I suppose in-home entertaining is something that people do, because it's a lot easier than, the good thing about inviting people around your place is your house is clean. You go, they're coming, we better clean now. So there's an added clean. But you've got, it's sort of, people come around, you can sort of walk around in shorts and a shirt, you can display your latest MasterChef skills. You can relax, you can have a bottle of Merriweather Surf Club wine.
You can.
Which we've just launched. We'll have to bring along to our next thing. I forgot today. That's the thing. I think with the, with those cooking shows and shows like The Block, and it's becoming a lot more lifestyle.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Kitchens are very lifestyle orientated.
So it becomes a living area.
It does.
As well as a food sort of area.
Definitely. Because you stand around in there and you have a glass of wine and you do that sort of thing. You want it to be a comfortable and appealing area.
Do you leave stickers around?
Put a sticker on the inside of the
fridge magnet inside of the drink shade for your kitchen?
Do that as yet. I suppose the way I'm growing my business and developing it is the personal touch. I cater to everybody's needs. I pride myself on getting back to people very quickly. I'll even do a 3D design with you in your home, and then I'll email you all those images so you can chat to your partner about that. And then we tweak it, and once you're happy, then I can price it up through one of the companies that'll best suit your needs.
Yeah, that sounds really, really good, doesn't it? I'd never heard of someone who's
freelance kitchen designer.
There was only one person that I know of that was doing it, and he's working for a company now. Yeah. So
I think we would class you as like part of the new economy or something. Like your job didn't exist 4 years ago, 5 years ago, probably. No. Like who would have just thought there was freelance kitchen designers, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it just shows you what you can do if you spot an opportunity with another company, like the thing of. We can't get out to see people, but I can do that for you
and carve that out.
That's fantastic. So what other sort of, do you do other sorts of marketing? Do you do like, you're part of our Beach Business Breakfast, which is fantastic, and you're, what else do? Do you advertise? Do you have to advertise?
At the moment, I don't have to do any advertising. I've got plenty of work coming through, and I get new leads nearly every day. So
you've become part of the business process for the kitchen manufacturers in some case, haven't you? Because it's like, you want someone to go and see you, okay.
Well, especially for the smaller companies, some of them don't have full-time designers. So they ring me up, and that's how I've got two clients. They actually approached me and said, we'd like to send you some work. Can you meet with these clients for me, please?
They get to get you in kitchens, and you get to do what you do.
So it's best of both worlds for everyone.
Excellent. No, that's good. So what's the, you've had a long career in food. Yeah. What's the best sort of business advice you've ever been given?
As an owner of a business, I suppose it's the same with every style of business. The important things are to probably treat everyone like you'd expect to be treated. Yeah. That's probably number one lesson in life. I know that's what I tell my kids every day. Never expect anybody to do something that you wouldn't do yourself. Is probably very important. And always lead by example. I suppose they're the main things, like going through the retail side of things, looking after people and that sort of thing through our business. It's always lead by example.
Reasonable life principles, yes?
Yeah, I think so. And I try and drum that into my kids every day. So.
Absolutely. Well, that's the thing. It's about you see all the ads on TV, and it's about repetition. So, you've got to keep drumming it in them. But if you're not living it, you've got to talk the talk, but you've got to walk the walk.
That's right, you really do.
Yeah, so I imagine your kids will see you in higher esteem now since you've been on this show.
Oh, definitely.
Which is great. So we have an international viewing audience, because I was on Facebook with a mate who's in England, and he said he watches these.
Excellent.
Only because he misses Australia. not because he likes Jeremy or myself or our esteemed guests, but so we do have an international viewing audience. So. So thanks for coming in, Shane. That's great. So just a reminder, Beach Business Breakfast, third Thursday of every month. We've got our newsletter, podcasts such as the one we've done now, directory. It's just an informal way of meeting new business contacts. You help them, and a lot of the members will help you grow your business. So thanks again, Shane. Enjoy the rest of your day.
And, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy. It's been a pleasure.
We'll see you next time.
See you, guys.